The Bible doesn't say without love you can't please God. It doesn't say that. And yet we know that love is how important it is, right? We know how important it is. I believe the reason that God doesn't say without love it's you can't please him, because love, if you're here today and you have love, God's love, it's because God gave you his love. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, right? The Bible says in Galatians, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's a natural thing. Love is natural, should be natural to a Christian, right? Should be natural to a Christian. Every one of us that are born again, we have God's love in us. If you're born again, you have God's love. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 5. I think it's verse 1. So if you're born again, God's love is shed abroad in your heart. If you're born of God, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, it's manifested in peace and joy and long-suffering and faithfulness. And all those things are a manifestation of God's love in our lives. God's love was planted in your heart and your heart when you got born again, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you got born again, God put, according to Romans, right? He put in you the measure of faith. The measure. And I like the King James because it says the measure. And I believe that God put in every one of us a measure of faith. Because without faith, first of all, you can't be born again. By grace are you saved, right? Through faith, right? You're saved by grace, but it's through faith, through your confidence, your trust, your reliance upon the work of Jesus, okay? The work of God. So, but your faith, when you receive it into you, it's not fully developed. It's the measure. It's like if you took Sammy and you took Blue and you brought them up here, put them both in a tank top, and I'd say, okay, Blue, I want you to flex. And so he'd flex. And then I'd tell Sammy, now flex, Sammy, flex, okay. Did you know they got exactly the same amount of muscle? One of them does not have more muscle than the other. One has developed his muscle more than the other. I don't have more faith than you. I may have developed my faith more than you. Amen. But as far as the measure of faith, it's the same. It's the same. Problem is, many of us, when you don't use a muscle, what happens? It atrophies. Many people's faith has atrophied. Because they're not using it. They're trusting the world to provide for them what God said he would give them. That he would provide for them. So they're trusting the world for it. Therefore, they're not developing the faith in them and developing their muscle. Nobody gets more muscle than somebody else. We all get the same number. We all get the same. Unless you're deformed, we all get exactly the same amount. It's never a question of more muscles. It's developed muscles. And it's the same way with faith. Nobody gets more faith than somebody else. We all get the measure of faith, but then we develop faith. Now, if you want faith for health, then you got to go to the Word and start reading the Word on health. What does God say? And for many of us, we never even think about healing until the doctor says, I don't like what I see. Or I can't do anything. Then all of a sudden, we want somebody to pray for us. We want somebody else to believe for us. We want someone else. And you know, here's the deal. you come up here, I'm going to pray to the best I know how, the prayer of faith. And what I mean by that is you call the elder, so I'm going to lay my hands on you. I'm going to anoint you with oil. And I'm sure the way we anoint with oil today is not how they anointed 2,000 years ago, but we're going to put some oil on you. We're going to pray the prayer of faith, which is a prayer that believes healing is yours because of what Jesus did. Okay? What Jesus did. But you're going to have to receive that. You have to receive that. We can't force it on you. We can't make you believe. You have to choose. What am I going to... And your choosing to believe is going to be connected to your faith in God and His Word. And that only comes by being a hearer of the Word. Now, I've always been... Once I started listening to Brother Price, he built a real fire in me for the Word, because I realized that the foolishness in my life was the results of ignorance to the Word. I was raised in church, but I was ignorant of the Word. I wasn't ignorant of traditions. My mom and I would talk about God, and she would quote songs. No? Anybody? I'd quote the Bible, and she'd quote a song. She knew the song. She knew all the songs. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying they weren't good songs. I'm just saying she could quote the songs, but she didn't quote the Bible. Be in church your whole life and not know. And don't misunderstand me. I love my mom. But it doesn't change the fact that you could get a quote, you could get a stanza of a song when you're talking about Jesus. Okay? Now, I'm not against songs, okay? But my point is this. When I started hearing the truth, I started reading the Bible. I don't mean just a little bit. I read a lot. I'd do it hours. Now, it's hard for me to read hours these days. My eyes don't like it. They get tired. But the point is, I'll listen to it. I listen to messages. Because even after all these years, I want to keep it stirred up in me. Right? I want to keep it stirred up. Because I don't know about you, but you can let the things of God slip in your life. That happens. Right? So, my point is this. I mean, there really is a point to this. My point is this. Whatever you want faith in God for, you're going to have to know what God thinks about it. God's attitude. You got to know what God... What does God believe? What's God? What does the Word say? So you got to go to the Word and find out what God... What is... And just because... And there was a scripture I misquoted for years. It's in James. It says, a man who offends not in word... And this is how I would quote it. A man who offends not in word and deed, the same as a perfect man. Don't say that. The Bible says, a man who offends not in word is a perfect man. But James goes on to say that your tongue is like the rudder on the ship that sets the course of the ship, right? Your tongue sets the course of your life. Friend, if you go around saying you're a failure, you're going to act like a failure. But if you go around speaking what God says about you, and I'm not talking about some hype, you know, I'm beautiful, I'm this, I'm that. I don't have a problem with you saying that, but I believe you need to get in the Word and find out what the Bible says about you. And say what the God says about you. And when I'm quoting, and I sometimes have to go back and go over scriptures because I don't know about you, sometimes they slip. But in Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all of his what? Benefits. So there's benefits in serving God. Forget not all your, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases. I wonder what he means by that. I wonder what all means. We all know the right answer. All our diseases. And it says, and he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. and he fills our mouth with good things. So he renews our youth like the eagle. I pray that over me every day. Because I don't know about you, I could use a little renewing. Amen. You know, I just want to keep it, keep going, keep believing, keep standing, keep trusting, right? They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Mount up with the wings of an eagle. They will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. Amen? Well, that's the word, man. I quote that over me. Because, you know, I'm not that I want to do a lot of running, but if I want to run, I want to run without being weary about it. See, I want to just keep doing what God wants. And my point isn't to be, I want to be accurate. How about you? I want to develop spiritual muscles or faith in every area of my life, because one thing I've learned over the years is that my life is more than going to church. I got to get along with a Norwegian. She's proud of the fact that she's related to Eric the Red. You know what I'm saying? Our horse is named Ragnarok. I mean, that's the, what is that, the god of you know, chaos. I mean, just total desert, total ruin. You know, I'm thinking, that's not a good name. I call him Rocky. Come on. But the thing is, I want to succeed. And I shared this with you Wednesday night. I'm not just into how long I'm going to live. It's called quality of life. I'm after quality of life. And one of the things I've learned over the years is if me and Sandy aren't getting along, it's hard to have quality of life. So I want that quality of life. But I'm not going to have a quality of life with Sandy and be a yes, dear dummy. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. There's times when you have to say no, dear. I know. Happy wife, happy life. No, happy wife could be a miserable life. You got to work this together. It's a team thing. You got to, you know, it's not me giving in and it's not her giving in. It's us working together for one purpose, right? It's for one goal. We're going the same way and we got the same goals and we're out to do it God's way. Amen? That's what it's about. But anyway, I believe in quality of life. And I believe quality of life comes out of my relationship with God only. Now, it's manifested in other ways. My health, soundness of mind, good relationships, having some finances in my life. These, to me, are all manifestations of God's will in my life that come out of my relationship with God. Okay? But faith, and I use this illustration. I mean, I this is my definition of faith. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your path. That, to me, that's faith. Faith is to trust in the Lord with all your heart, to lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I always connect that to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, right? See, God's way of doing, right? God's way of doing and being right, right? So we want to know God's way. Now go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, the Bible gives us a definition of faith here, and it actually says faith. So I want to read this. Now, we're talking about this year being a year of open door, which to me is a year of opportunity. And I believe for every year on this planet, God gives us opportunities. Yes. Will you have the faith or the confidence in God to take advantage of them? Right? Sometimes to take advantage of God's opportunity, you can't live by your senses. You got to put your trust in Him. You know, sometimes when you obey God, it don't make sense. But you know in your heart, it's what God wants you to do. When Sandy and I left Fresno to move up here 30 years ago or 32 years ago or whatever it is, it didn't make sense. I had the best job I'd ever had. I was making more money than I'd ever made. I had all the benefits out of 401k. You had to work 90 days with these people before they'd give you insurance. I worked for them 1 week and they gave me full medical insurance. All my kids, they just went out of their way to bless me. They went out of their way to do it. In fact, he was trying to get me to make a long-term commitment to him because he had a plan to move me up into a place of a management position. But I knew I was called to preach. Now, I know some of you are probably still wondering if I am or not. But I knew in my heart that I was called to preach. And I knew I wouldn't be here long. So it didn't make sense for me to leave that job and go up to Shingletown and start a church with nothing and in a county that this is what they told me when we went. This is the poorest county in California. That's what they told me. Now, I don't know if that was true, not true. I don't know. But that's what they told me. This was the poorest county in California. And then they told me this. They told me, we'll never be able to take the people that were there that wanted to start the church. They said, we'll never be able to take care of you financially. That's what they told me. They said, we were looking for an elderly guy who was on a fixed income. And I got 3 kids and the youngest one's 4. And the oldest one's 10. And I told them this, God's my witness. I told them, I never asked you to take care of me. It's God's job to take care of me. I never asked you to take care of me. Well, we spent 13 years there, built a new building, and at certain times we ran as high as 280 people that went in Shingletown in a building. Tom was there. He can vouch for me. And we were blessed. Financially, we were blessed. We bought a home there. We drove nice cars. God was so good to us in this poor county that they will never be able to take care of us. God blessed us abundantly. Amen. Then God began to deal with me about starting a church in Reading. I didn't want to start a church in Reading. Hey, when you're doing good, you want to be left alone. Right? I want to be in the will of God as long as the will of God makes sense to me. And it's comfortable. Well, he's telling me to come down here and start a church. Well, long story short, 22 years ago, we came down here and we started a church and all that. And to be honest, we've never had the same crowds down here. But financially, we've done much better down here. God's been very good to us. Now, we've had some times when it was difficult. I'm not going to blow sunshine up your nose. There was times it was difficult. There was times we had to stand by faith. There was times we didn't know how needs were going to get met. We didn't, but God was faithful and God brought us, and we're blessed. We're blessed. And in this coming to this building and the people here, it's been nothing but a blessing to Sandy and I, and so I want you to know that. But my point is, in the natural, a lot of times when you do God's will and you take advantage of the opportunities He gives you, they don't always check all the humanistic boxes. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes it... But that's what we got to learn to trust. That's what faith does. Faith, trust in the Lord. Amen? So in Hebrews 11, in verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things what? Not seen. Now, the word substance means the support. It supports it. My faith supports my hope. Now, what is hope? Come on. Expectation, right? When we talk about Bible hope, it's expectation of good things, right? Evil hope is the expectation of what? Bad things. We call it fear. So-and-so don't get in, this country's going down the tube. That's an evil hope. I mean, that's an expectation. Oh, we got to get there. It's going to go bad. Friend, I got news for you. I hate to bring this to your attention, but my God is bigger than the orange monster, and he's bigger than Mr. Magoo. He's bigger than all of it. I got to trust him. I got to trust in the Lord. My faith is in God. It's not in the Republican Party. They're idiots. So is the Democrat Party. So is the Independent. It's filled with people that need God. And the only Savior we got is Jesus. So we need to focus in on that. Now, don't misunderstand me. I mean, you go down there, you vote for the one that you think thinks, you know, believes kind of like you, or hopefully we can make changes or whatever. But the bottom line is, I got to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ. I got to keep my eyes on the Lord. I've got to have hope for tomorrow. I got to have hope. I got to have an expectation. My life is going to be good. My marriage is going to be good. My family is going to be good. My health is going to be good. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to serve the Lord, and he's going to open doors for me. And I want the faith to walk through those doors and to receive into my life the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow. Right? Now, if faith is the substance, it's the support of the things I hope for. Now, I want you to think of, it's the evidence of the things not seen. Now, when something's supported, let's say you have a hope for a good marriage. Let's say you got some marriage issues today. But you're believing God for it to get better. You know, I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better wife. We're going to learn how to work this out. We're going to do it God's way. Let's say that. But today it's a little raggedy. No, yes. It's a little raggedy. Okay. But you built this hope in you that it's going to get better, right? Well, this hope is built on faith in God. Not because you're Mr. Wonderful. Not because you're married to Miss Perfect. It's because you serve the God who can change anything. Right? So that's your hope. My hope is in God. He's working in me the will and the do of his good pleasure. I mean, that's part of my prayer in the morning. God has begun a good work in me, and he's going to finish the work. Right? So I'm saying what God says. And I do the same thing with Sandy, and I do the same. So if my faith is properly developed, it holds my hope up. My hope is supported, right? But when I begin to let my faith wane, then my hope starts going down, right? Have you ever been sick for a long time? I was down in my back for 3 years after I had the accident. It was 3 years before I could go to the mall and even walk. It was 3 years. That's a long time to be confessing that I'm healed. And half the people thought I was a liar. Because I'd say I'm healed in Jesus' name. I didn't say I was healed because I felt like it or because I didn't have no symptoms. I said I'm healed because Jesus said I am. And so I just keep saying what Jesus said. And some people thought, yeah, he'll never be the same, whatever that means. So anyway, so for 3 years, I'm standing, but when you'd ask me about it, my confession would be in the direction in which I'm believing God for. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. We were living there in Shingletown in a little place called Casey Ray Court, and we lived in a mobile home with paneling. When you're battling depression, a mobile home with paneling doesn't help. And I don't care what anybody thinks about this guy, but I had a bunch of those tapes, what do you call them, VCR tapes, whatever they were. I had a bunch of them of Jesse Duplantis. And so I'd take those tapes out. Sandy would be at work, and I'd be hanging around the house because I was walking like this for a long time on a walker, just shuffling around the house on a walker. That's how I was living. I was in my 30s, and that's how I was living. And I'd put those tapes on, and Jesse would make me laugh. And the Bible says that a merry heart does well like a medicine. So I'd just sit there and watch those tapes and laugh, and he'd preach, and I'd laugh. And because I knew that if I didn't do something, depression was going to get the better of me. And you can't get well being depressed. When your spirit is all depressed and your soul is all underneath depression, there's no healing in that. That's why Satan wants to get you that way. And so, man, I'd listen to them and I'd read my Bible and I'd pray and I'd listen to, I had some other tapes and I'd get them out and have people preach faith to me and I'd read my Bible. And when I got a little better, I'd start vacuuming the house. I always said this, a well man will vacuum. And I was believing to be well. When I'd go to church, I'd make myself stand during worship. I'd be in so much pain, I couldn't stand. I was in so much pain. And I'd sit there, and my leg, I had pinched my sciatic nerve, and they had to go in there and put metal rods in my back and separate my spine, because my spinal cord had been almost severed. He said, if you'd have just turned a little bit more, you would have severed your spinal cord. And they did two surgeries on my back to restore ruptured disc and a twisted spine. And his words were this. He said, well, when we got in there, we found out that all the nerves had been ripped away from your spine. And this is what he said. He said, I put them back where I thought they went. And they put two metal bar rods in my back to hold your vertebrae from coming back together. To keep it apart. I hadn't gone to the bathroom in 17 days in my own power. I got a straitjacket every 4 hours because I couldn't urinate. Because I broke off my tailbone. I broke it completely off. And you got seven nerves that go down into your tailbone. And one of them is it controls your ability to void. One, it controls your ability to have sex. One of them, different things it does. And I had not had the urge to go to the bathroom for 17 days. So every 4 hours, they'd come in and give me a straitjacket. They were preparing me to send me to a rehab place to teach myself how to give myself a straitjacket, because I was never going to urinate again under my own power. That's where I was at. So when I get up here and preach about healing, I'm not just blowing sunshine up your nose. I've been there. And I've been there where depression, I was fighting depression. Oh, I wanted to feel sorry for myself. God, I was doing your work, building your church. I was doing my, and you let this happen to me? I mean, I was being human just like the rest of you. And I'm fighting it, man. And you know what? You know how I knew I was in faith? Because when I opened my mouth, I said what God said. I know when you're not in faith because you open your mouth and you say what God didn't say. Faith always expresses what God says. And one of the things that we have the hardest time as people is to take any responsibility for our mouths. We live in a society that will say anything. There's no filter, but it's like there's no kindness anymore. We just say it. We watch movies and they just say it. I tried to watch a couple of shows and every other word was F this and F that. And I'm like, I ain't putting that in me. I'm old enough to not repeat it, but I don't want to hear it. Now you watch what you want. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not standing out to start a show, and all of a sudden, it's like, that's it. We turn it off. We're both old enough to know. We don't have to repeat it, but we ain't going to sit and listen to it. Because the Spirit of God lives in me. And if I sit there and listen to that, he has to listen to it, and he don't like listening to it. But my point is I know it, and so here I am. I'm fighting this, and I'm having to stand. And you can always tell. It says, now faith is. Now faith is never yesterday. And faith is never tomorrow. Faith is always right now. There's a little tavern out in the middle of the boonies, and it said on the front, on the sign, free beer tomorrow. They never gave any beer away because there's never a tomorrow. When you show up for it, it's today. Now, I didn't say I'd give you beer today. I said I'll give it to you tomorrow. Then you show up the next day. No, today. It's today. Faith is now. It's never future. It's never past. It's now. You're not going to be healed. You got to believe you are healed. When you're broke as the Ten Commandments, you got to believe you're blessed when the rest of the world thinks you're crazy. If you're going to have faith in your life, and your faith holds up your hope. So when your mouth starts going and you start losing your hope, what do you got to do? You got to build that faith back up. You got to get back in the Word and get it back up. So the Bible says that you're going to get out, get saved. The salvation of your life is going to be the what you say with your mouth. And I'll give you that scripture here in a minute if I have time. But my point is now faith now. Now, some people say, well, in the original, the word now isn't there. Oh, okay. Drop the word now. I mean, in case they're right. Then let's say, faith is the substance. When is that? It don't matter. Is it faith is now. I mean, that faith is the substance of the things we hope for. It's the evidence of the things we don't see. You have to see by faith. When you're sick, you have to see healing. I say this to people. Faith sees. Faith looks beyond the circumstance and sees the promise of God. And that's a challenge because we're sense knowledge people, amen? We live by our senses. You know, I get around people all the time. When they don't get their way, they lose it. It's like, get over yourself. He says there in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. A person that's controlled by their senses is acting like a child. It says, when I was a child, I acted like, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, I quit acting like a child and I started acting like a man. We need some men to start acting like men. I've never seen so many men controlled by their emotions. It's like, dude, you need to get a grip. I'm tired. Get over yourself. I'm not happy. Get over yourself. That's not what it's like, no, I'm going to be a good husband because the Bible tells me to. I want to be a good friend because the Bible tells me to. I want to be faithful because the Bible tells me to. Now, because I don't always feel like being faithful. Sometimes I'd like to, I'm just going to stay home. You got it, Ted. You preach. I'm just going to stay home. No, you got to decide. No, I'm going to be, I'm a man. And I know that means, and ladies, it's the same with you. I mean, remember back when you had to be disciplined because if you didn't, you'd starve to death? I mean, there was a time, if you didn't tend the garden, you went hungry. Your feelings didn't have anything to do with this. You didn't feed the chickens, you wouldn't have no eggs. If you didn't keep the hog up, you're going to go without your bacon because you didn't sit in your house and call, what is it, whoever it is that delivers food. You can sit in your house and be 360,000 pounds and have food delivered to your house while you watch another episode of whatever show you're watching because you're binge watching something that's absolutely rotting your mind. And you don't even have to leave the house. You just call them on your your phone, and then they bring it to your door, and you don't even. But one of these days, you know what? One of these days, they may not be no one out there to bring it to you. You might find out what you're really made of. I mean, there was a time you had to be faithful, because if you weren't faithful, you had to have some discipline in your life, because if you didn't have discipline in your life, you weren't going to succeed. Now we can just sit around and wait for the government to send us money. And I'm glad we live in a country that helps people. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying you got to be careful. The disciplines in your life are for more than just saying you're disciplined. Disciplines in your life develops you as a human being. And if you don't have no disciplines in your life, you're not going to be much of a developed human being. I'm disciplined in my marriage. Don't take this wrong, but I make myself say good things. Because sometimes I'd like to just say it. No? I mean, when you're pastoring and it's the same person for the 500th time, sometimes you just like to say it. I can't help you. You're an idiot. You ain't changing nothing. You're just going down the same path, the same cycle, doing the same thing, going over and over again. Well, that hurt my feelings. Well, get your feelings off the end of your shirt. You know what I mean? Get them put them away. You know, don't have them out there where you keep getting touched by everything. I love Barb. I haven't known her long, but I love her. Because, you know, Tom's an individual all his own. And every once in a while, Tom will say something, and I'm shaking my head like, oh, Jesus. And old Barb will say, oh, there's that Grant charm. Yep, there's that Grant charm. Well, I'm glad she figured it out. That the Grants have their own charm. And you got to realize that if you're going to live with him. I mean, you got to just, you can't make everything so personal. You can't take everything so hard. You got to come to a place in your life where I'm committed to this. I made a commitment to God. Sandy and I got married in Barstow, California. Anybody know where Barstow is? Yeah, beautiful place. But we got married in Barstow, a little old church of God, right, in Linwood. Anybody know where Linwood's at? But it's a little bit, just a little outside of town there, just a little place there. And we got married in this little bitty building, about half of this building. And the guy who married us is divorced, or he might be dead now, I don't know. But he cheated on his wife. Now think about that. The guy that did the ceremony cheated on his wife. The best man has been divorced. And as far as I know, we're the only one that made it. See, because here was the difference for me. When I stood up there, I wasn't standing in front of them. I wasn't getting married because he was doing it. I was standing before God, and I made a covenant with Sandy. And that don't change. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. If only one person's trying, it's going to be hard to make it work. I'm not trying to smooth nothing over. I'm just saying, we got to decide I'm in this. And I'm believing, and believe it or not, it takes faith to have a good marriage. No? Yes. Anyway. You know, my dad believed he could raise the dead, but he didn't believe that God could help him be a better husband. A lot of people, I don't think they believe God can make you a better person. My biggest project is me, not you. Not who's in government. Me. I'm my biggest. It's me. What's the old, the old gospel song? It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one that needs to change. No? But see, if you're selfish and self-centered, everybody else needs to change. Right? That woman you gave me, God, she just... That man, if he just, no. My life got better when I changed. And I believe faith in God can change me. I believe it can change you. But we know what your faith is because of what you're saying with your mouth. The Bible says that we have the same spirit of faith. Right? We believe, therefore we what? Anybody remember? We speak, right? What you believe is what you say. I've said some stupid things in my life. But that's not an end in itself, is it? We can change. And you know what? I heard this and I bought into it. A guy was talking to another guy and he said this. He said, you need to learn the vocabulary of silence. And sometimes we just need to learn to be quiet. Yep, just, was it the old saying in World War II? Loose lips sink ship. A lot of people's marriage is sunk because of their loose lip. Sometimes we got to just say nothing. And I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not saying your spouse is always right. I'm not saying you're always right. I'm just saying, if we're going to do this God's way, we got to figure out, we got to do it God's way. I want to succeed in life. And you say, well, you're old, you're over. No, I'm not old. I'm older. I'm not old. I dug a ditch yesterday. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. You know what I'm saying? Excuse me. Put that in your purse and sling it. Whatever one's right. But the thing is, I want to live my life out, but I want my marriage to get better. I want a better relationship with my kids. I had to learn how to have a relationship with my kids. And then I had to learn how to let them be men. No, I wanted to tell them what to do. And they just started smiling at me like, right, Dad. Comes a time and place, you got to let go. They're gonna be who they're gonna be. You gotta just love them and pray for them and just keep going forward, right? I'll stop with this. I think. To me, the key to success in life is the ability to adapt. Was anybody single? Anybody ever been single before? I was single once. Believe it or not, I was single once. And I noticed women. No? I noticed. That don't mean I lusted, but I noticed. Okay? Now, if somebody says I ran off with the secretary, you pray for me. If they say I ran off with the money, you pray for me. If they said I run off with a man, that's a damn lie. That ain't happening, Jack. You need to know what you're tempted by, and you need to know what you're not tempted by. Amen. But when I got married, I had to quit looking. And I remember the moment it hit me. I'm done looking. This is it. She's it. She's all there is. That's as good as, that's my life right there. And all my 44 years of investment is in her. Right? Well, that's a decision you got to make, because I know people that don't do that. You got to decide what you're going to do. You're going to do it God's way, or you're going to do it the world's way. And you got to be able to adapt. You get a certain age, you got to adapt. Get off the roof. Stay off the roof. My dad couldn't seem to figure that one out. I mean, he couldn't adapt. He was having a terrible time adapting to different ages in his life. And I believe success in life, you got to learn to adapt. You got to learn to, there's a raising kids time. There's a pre-married time. There's a married time. There's kid time. There's the kids are grown time. There's a, we're getting older time. We're going to have to, you know, you got to learn how to adapt or you're going to have a hard time being successful in life. But the Bible will help us adapt. Right? He'll help us. He'll help us do it. And I plan to, with God's help, to be successful in life up to the last day I breathe my last breath. And it takes faith in God to do it. Because you may not know this, but the world don't have any answers. All the world has is a bunch of questions. But God's got answers. Amen. All right. If you're here this morning, you never asked Jesus into your life, of course, we want to give you that opportunity.